having been caught in the act of adultery, and she begins friendship of another kind as everything is laid bare. And Jesus lays his heart bare. He says this. He says, "You are my friends," he says, "if you do what I command." What does he command? That the real me comes to the real him. There's one thing to lose, and there's one thing to gain that I want to talk about. One thing to lose, one thing to necessarily have in this friendship of another kind. And the thing to lose is acting. Pretense. Jesus has a number of implacable enemies. He calls them a word that is translated hypocrite. They are pretenders. And the original word hypocrite meant actor in the language Jesus used. You cannot be an actor and put on a religious show if you want friendship with God. It's only possible with the real you and the real me. And this is true also in our human relationships where God does his best work. I'm going to invite two friends with some bar stools to come up. They're two friends of mine. They're two friends with each other who now are married. But the key thing I'm going to ask them about in this little interview up here is on their journey of friendship, which led towards marriage, of a particular time in that journey where this high-risk friendship of another kind was being explored, whether it was possible. Darius and Grace, thanks ever so much for coming up here.
Thank you. I've just been told that I'm going to fall off the back of the stage, so I'll move forward.
Yeah, don't do that.
Health and safety and all that.
You're being vulnerable enough, so we don't need you to be wounded in another way. Thank you for sharing this very personal part of your life with us. Can you tell us about the time when your friendship deepens and how that happened, Darius?
Okay, it's interesting that Jonathan is just talking about the side of us that we present, because I'm sure, you know, I preach regularly at All Saints, and you see me up the front, and I think, you know, I come across as a very handsome and intelligent and dashing man who's clearly got it all together. This is like the after picture. You know, when you see those shows of people, like, when they've lost weight or something, this is the after picture. Myself and Grace were married in 2012. Since my teens, I was very insecure and very lost and very broken. And right from my, like, kind of mid-teens right through to my early 20s, I used to have this motto that I'd share with my friends. This is kind of a picture of what I was like before. I used to say that women are like part-time jobs. You don't leave until you find another one. I was in back-to-back sexual relationships with women from the time I was in my mid-teens to late teens. And I found myself at this point of my life where I'm getting ready to get married, and yet my fiancé doesn't know. And so I realized that, you know, if she's going to marry me, she needs to know about my past. She needs to know that this baggage that I'm carrying, this brokenness that I've been carrying, this thing that I'm still trying to resolve in my life. And so I remember I was living at Lausanne Road in Peckham. And I remember I asked Grace to come round because we needed to talk. And I sat her down in the room. And I think it probably took me about 20 minutes to get the first word out of my mouth. Where I was like, I need to tell you I'm scared about marriage. Because, not just because I know what I'm capable of, because I know what I've done. I know how I've treated women in the past. I know how I've looked at women in the past, and yet I'm going to marry you. You need to know this. And I guess I really want to give Grace an opportunity to walk. You know, because if she worked out at that point that this is not a guy she wants to marry, I wanted to give her that opportunity to walk.
The one thing that we're saying we need to receive in order to do this sort of thing you're describing is our great courage. So how did you get that courage to start this conversation?
The courage has come from me coming to a point in my faith where even though I look back at my life and realize that I was a mess, that Jesus accepts me with all of my mess, with everything that's broken, everything that's not right. In fact, that was how I came to him in the first place. It was that brokenness, that mess, that getting it wrong, which put me on my knees originally and made me say, Jesus, I need your help, I need your salvation. And so it was in light of that acceptance from Jesus that I realized it was so important for me to open up to Grace in this way.
Grace, turning to you, what was your response to this conversation?
Well, it was really difficult to hear, obviously, just getting to know Darius in a different way. That there was one thing he said that really shook me. It was, if you'd known me back then, you wouldn't have wanted to have anything to do with me. And it broke my heart. It broke my heart because I loved this person so much. And knowing that he was so broken and he'd been through so much pain and was in a really difficult place for so long, that it was just really hard to hear. But I think also because I'd come from a slightly difficult background, I'd had multiple partners, so I could relate to that pain and that emptiness from going through that. So, yeah, it was really difficult. But I think it created a space where I felt that I could open up to Darius as well. So through that conversation, as difficult as it was, it brought out something really amazing, that we could be really honest with each other and go towards marriage, not just knowing the surface level. So.
This is clearly friendship suddenly going on to a deeper level. So can you tell us like the knock-on effects of that for your own relationship, but also with others?
Yeah. So I guess the fear, speaking to Grace, going to speak to Grace about this, the fear was of rejection. The fear was that she would learn this about me and say, keep at a distance. And that was the risk involved. The reality was that it actually drew us closer together, as Grace was just saying, and it opened our engagement and thus our marriage in a different way. And I think that Grace lived up to her name, and she modeled God's grace to me, and it was like a picture of how God sees me, that he's able to see all of my mess but see much deeper and understand and empathize with my situation whilst also wanting me to grow. And so it's led to me finding the courage personally and for us to ask for help in our marriage when we're struggling. There's a couple who we went to and we said, we're going to need help with this marriage thing. This is it's hard, you know. You're a few steps ahead of us. Please help us walk through this journey together. Mm-hmm. Another one of the things that's kind of been born out of this is the men's support group, which is a place where men can come together to be vulnerable with each other and to deal with what, you know, the stuff that's under the surface of the water. And I think what I've found is it's become easier. No less scary maybe, but easier to kind of to share what's underneath the surface.
And just finally, why are you both now so passionate about the sort of vulnerability in your friendships? Which clearly you can't have this vulnerability with everyone, you're not meant to, but nevertheless, you've learned something very precious here. Tell us why you're so passionate about this.
Well, I mean, as Darius said, it made it much easier for us to be able to seek help with others. But also, I decided to open up to what I considered as a close friend of mine recently, known her for years. And I think I hadn't beforehand, because I thought it would jeopardise our friendship or she'd see me in a different way. And becoming vulnerable to her, she actually felt that she could be vulnerable back. And it wasn't until afterwards, I thought, gosh, our friendship, and I even said to her, our friendship was much more superficial. than what I realised. And that fear of rejection, it was just a lie. And actually being vulnerable to each other, that created our friendship. That was the step of a friendship.
Can I just say something quickly? Thanks, Jonathan. I think there's this illusion that we live in, that if in our friendships, that if I reveal this part of me to that person, that it's going to create more of a distance between us. But I believe the opposite is true, is that it's that part of us, that's how we connect. That's how we truly find deep relationship. And there's this passage in 1 John that I really passionately relate to, where he talks about those, if they have no sin, then they're kidding themselves. And he talks about walking in the light and walking in the darkness. And how I understand that now is that walking in the light is when we are prepared to let Jesus into that part of my life that formerly I was in denial of or unwilling to face up to. And part of that is letting other people in as well. Not everybody, but the right people at the right time. And my dream is of a church of people who are walking in the light, where we no longer feel like we need to hide in the darkness, where the stuff that's in there we can actually share with one another. And there is profound healing and transformation. Jesus will heal us as we do this, and that is my experience. If I look at my life now, in comparison to where I was when I was 20, 22, 23, I'm a married man with a daughter, but that's the top. But underneath, God has done so many things to get me to the point where I'm able to even talk about this stuff on a platform like this. That's my experience, and my desire is that we see that right across the church. People, more and more people walking in the light.
Thank you both very much indeed. Thank you. Someone called Brené Brown says this: vulnerability is the most accurate measure of courage. And Jesus wants to give courage to you and to me to come out of hiding, to get rid of the pretense, and by the help of his Holy Spirit, who he calls the encourager, literally one who gives courage. And in a moment, I'm going to invite you to join me in a prayer of what the church calls confession. It could just be empty words that an actor with a script says that costs nothing. But real vulnerability with God, with one another, such as that on the journey of friendship we've just heard from Darius and Grace, that this costs something. But Jesus, who became utterly vulnerable for us, and on a cross where he is naked in every sense of the word, utterly vulnerable, which means the ability to be wounded, utterly wounded and bleeding, he is saying on the cross, this is the real me. We have communion today in which we're invited to receive bread representing Jesus' body, and his the wine which represents his blood. This is the real Jesus. And the only way to be friends with him, you are my friends if you do what I command, what he commands and invites us into, is to be real with him. Which could just be like empty jargon, but it becomes real when we confess. We confess openly with somebody else who loves Jesus. We trust them deeply. We're very vulnerable. We could be wounded if we choose the wrong person. At All Saints, we want there to be groups, small groups, safe groups, maybe prayer partners, some of you are in, prayer triplets, three people of the same sex or two people of the same sex meeting together. Marriages, friendships of another kind, where this vulnerability, reflecting the vulnerability of Jesus on the cross, is being given and received. because it's in our DNA to cover up, to hide, to pretend. In a moment, we're going to hear the word of God from Genesis 3, which will then lead into our confession at the close of this sermon. And I say it's in our DNA because this word of God shows how Adam and Eve, the first people, they eat fruit from a forbidden tree, and from that moment, they become people with something to hide. And in this reading, if you listen carefully to it in just a moment, you'll hear what happens to them. They hide from each other. They sew clothes on because they're ashamed all of a sudden. They hide from God. This is what's been happening through the whole of human history. We start hiding. It's in our DNA as we are descendants from Adam and Eve. But Jesus has come to show us the real God, to die on a cross, to make what is called the fall, the falling away from God of human beings. There is a bridge now between Adam and Eve and everyone since, you and me, that we no longer have to be presentable me, but real me, real you, with the God who has died for all the reality that's on the inside. The ugly stuff we do not share lightly, but can confess. And anyone who confesses, God is, as Darren said, faithful and just, and will purify them from all unrighteousness. Very practically, I'm going to invite you in a moment, if this is God's call for you this morning and you need real courage to drop the pretense, receive courage from God to go deeper with him, maybe deeper with one other person or a very small group, to receive prayer. Prayer team are over here, and either before in the worship time or after you've received communion from the stations here, the bread and the wine of Jesus, or at the back, to be prayed for, to receive courage that Jesus wants to give you. Mike is going to come up, and as he reads the word of God from Genesis 3, I invite you, if this helps you, to close your eyes and to put yourself in the place of Adam and Eve, but all the while remembering the cross of Jesus, where the after effects of the fall have been done away with, and the offer of friendship of another kind is once again on the table. The offer of friendship of another kind is once again on the table. This table, the communion table, communion with God, is possible again. This is God's word.
When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate."
If you wish to join me in this simple prayer of confession, if it's your prayer, you can simply repeat it, not out loud, but just in your heart, line by line. Lord God, as a descendant of Adam and Eve, I confess to you this morning what is hidden of the real me who needs your real help. I confess to you all that is hidden about what I have done wrong and failed to do right. And I also confess to you, open up to you, as it were, what is hidden about the things done to me and the hurt I carry, very deep stuff. And I confess to you my need for courage to step out into friendship of another kind you offer. And whatever that practically means for me, I pray for the courage to make that first step. It might be a phone call. It might be an email to an address I'm about to give you. It might be finding out more about a recovery group we are about to start and can tell you about for people in an addictive cycle of different kinds. It might be the courage to go to Molo. It might be the courage to ask about the men's support group. It might be the courage to ask somebody to be a prayer partner. It might be the courage or the intention simply to join one of our 17 small groups. It's the courage to ask for help. For it is not good that we are alone. It is not good that we are consigned to be actors. Jesus, thank you for dying and for taking away all that separates us from you. May Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. And just finally, in a really practical sense, if Olivia, you can put up the next slide with an email address on it. If you would like to, whether it's a confession in a very deep personal way, or whether it's simply you'd like some more information about any of our groups, this email address is seen by two people, one bloke, one woman. If you want, I can tell you who those two people, trusted people, are. If you write to that, just simply say, I'd like a conversation about something, pastoralcare@allsaintspeckham.org.uk. It's a very practical, but maybe the most significant thing you can do. Jesus invites us into friendship of another kind. As the band come up now, as we worship in song together, before the children and young people come back, we receive communion. There'll be members of the prayer team over here, and if you need to ask God for anything this morning, they will be glad to pray with you. Would you please stand?